We are back. It is Transfer Talk with the SGFC podcast. We've come back from our summer holidays a little bit early to start talking football again. It's felt like it's been a long time, but the same old voices and potentially faces, if I can edit this, are here yet again. I am Greg, your host. Joining me, as ever, is my younger brother and co-host, Seb. How are you doing? How have your summer holidays, quote unquote, been?
They've been all right. I wasn't expecting to come back so soon, but the transfer window's kicked off with such a bang that we couldn't leave it out. We have to get involved.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am very, very busy at the moment. Life is in full throttle mode. So it's nice just to sit for half an hour or so and just chat a little bit of football and just forget about everything going on, you know? We've got to start. You would think that we would start with Chelsea because it's just been fire sale crazy over there. But we actually want to start with Arsenal, who, having secured Champions League football last season, are making huge moves in the market. Seb, talk us through some of the action that's been happening over at the Emirates Stadium.
Well, I think we have to start with Rice, baby. Former Cobham graduate, the man that was destined to return to Chelsea, was supposed to return to Chelsea over the past four seasons. He's gone to Arsenal.
Yep.
but you can't blame him, can you? Like, first of all, £100 million is, some would say, an overpay. I'd say probably about right.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it as a whole, you're paying 20 million because he's English. You're paying another 10 or 15 because he's captain of West Ham.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't he have quite a still few years in his contract, didn't he?
Had two.
Yeah. It's enough to, you know, to make it 100 million. I think it's a fair figure for the player that he is. It's a fair figure.
Yeah. You're getting one of the best Premier League midfielders. I know some people don't rate him. I think he's fantastic at what he does. He wins the ball back. He's got a wide range of passing and he's got something that Arsenal don't really have at the minute, which is a proper leader.
Yeah, he has that combination of being young, because he still is only, what, 23, 24?
24, I think, yeah.
But he has just this breadth of experience of, you know, leading West Ham at such a young age, taking them to Europa League finals, and just performing week in and week out at a club where the expectations weren't always that high, but he always aimed to achieve as much as he could. And I think West Ham fans will wish him all the best. I think they'll obviously be devastated that he's leaving, but £105 million is a lot of money to invest in that team.
Yes, it is. And for West Ham, like, it's good and bad. Like, they now have money they can reinvest, as you said.
Mm.
But it also means that other teams know they have money, so they'll probably have to overpay for a few extra players.
Mm. I mean, it depends who they get, really. I mean, we're not here to talk about West Ham's team this week. I don't think they've made any notable signings yet.
Nah.
But, I mean, yeah, Declan Rice into that Arsenal midfield, which has lost Granit Xhaka, who went to Leverkusen.
He did.
£20 million. Again, a good amount of money out of Xhaka.
Yeah, done well there.
Fits into that midfield, which potentially could have Thomas Partey next to him, although there are talks that Saudi Arabia are in for him, or potentially joined by Kai Havertz.
It has been joined by Kai Havertz.
Well, I'm talking in that midfield, though.
Right. It's. I don't really know what to make of this one. Like, obviously, as a Chelsea fan, I'm happy we got a lot of money for him. As you may know from last season, we weren't really rating him. But it's a strange one for Arsenal to go for. Like, because you don't know where he's going to play.
Right, okay. As I think when the news broke that Havertz was, you know, a deal was agreed with Arsenal, because it did come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
To the point where he has been edited out of Chelsea's kit release this week. Because, you know, even Chelsea didn't see this coming. But I think my first two words to you were thank because this guy has not performed at Chelsea. For the money that was paid for him and the expectations put on his shoulders, he has not performed anywhere near what was expected.
No.
However, it's been a turbulent time at Chelsea last three seasons. Mm-hmm. He's played left wing, right wing, centre forward, shadow striker, CM, DM, left back, right back. I think he had a stint for 5 minutes in goal against Stoke in the FA Cup. The guy's been all over the pitch. Yeah. And he's suffered with rotation, with just not having a consistent manager or a consistent identity. He's not a striker. You know, Chelsea fans, we've been screaming this week in, week out, stop playing him as a striker. But as much as I hate to say it, he's going to thrive in this Arsenal team.
He's going to do better. I'm not sure about thrive.
Thrive. He's going to thrive. He's going to have a battle to get into the first team, because who's he going to try and displace? Odegaard? No. Saka, Martinelli? Highly doubtful. So if he fits in as a deep-lying playmaker next to a more defensive Declan Rice, it gives him a bit more freedom to actually express his play and carry the ball and not try and be this target man that he's not. But he's going to do well. And I can see he's going to do well. And it's because he's getting played in a system that works for him.
He's going to do better than he did at Chelsea.
It's not hard, though, is it?
Yeah, that's it. He'll do much better. But you said it there, like, he's got to fight for his place at first. Kai doesn't fight. Like, we saw it at Chelsea.
It's true.
He doesn't half-arse everything, but he never gives 100%. So maybe Arteta can get it out of him. But, yeah, he'll do better at Arsenal than he has at Chelsea. That much is certain.
Yeah, because the bar is set so low there that he can't. He generally physically can't do any worse.
He'll literally outscore his entire Chelsea career in a season.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big loss to the Chelsea midfield, or, you know, again, a player that's played all over the pitch, was Mason Mount. This one was a much tougher pill to swallow.
Yes.
There was, you know, highly documented problems behind the scenes with Chelsea and Mason Mount that's been going on since before the 2022 World Cup. In Qatar. I'll let you get into the details in a minute, because you are much more clued up on it than I am. But as an initial reaction to the news that Mason Mount joined Man United for about £55 million with like £5 million added on, what were your initial feelings as a Chelsea fan?
What an absolute...
You can swear, Seb, because I can edit that well.
just add a beep. What an absolute... Like, honestly,
no love lost.
I haven't hated a player this much since Courtois.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's just so all the stuff that's come out. Like, obviously, it's not just his fault, it's Chelsea's fault as well. But to go and join, like, he would have been there and watched the bitter rivalry we had with Man United during like the 2010s. Like, and he was so happy to go join them. Like, his dad was basically crying in the dressing room. Like, oh, God, I can't believe you're here. Shut up, mate. Like, you've been at Chelsea for so long. Don't act like you've wanted him to go to Man United all this time.
Yeah, it's a big snake situation. A lot of people are seeing this as a betrayal, you know, this is a money-chasing, glory-hunting. You know, he's living up to his name, Money Mason.
He is, yeah.
However, I mean, my initial reaction was I was pretty gutted. Because, you know, this is a kid that's been at Chelsea since he was about 8 years old. I think even earlier than that. You know, you saw the videos of him when he's with his long emo fringe, kicking balls around, pretending, you know, I hit it on the valve because it's, you know, like Ronaldo.
I tried to base my free kick on Ronaldo, hit the ball by the valve, and it moves. So what do you do? Top corner, top bins. Oh!
And it is a blow, because he was Mr. Chelsea. Essentially, he was that almost that Frank Lampard, Joe Cole sort of figure, you know, bought young, bought into the Chelsea mentality. But, you know, I blame Chelsea more than they blame Mason Mount, if I'm honest. I think Chelsea fucked him around. I think he saw the writing on the wall that it's a sinking ship. And I don't think there were many more suitors than Man United. So there's only so much he can do.
Captain goes down with the ship. But what I'll say is, from what I've read, I can only go off what I've read, I could be 100% wrong, but it's both their faults. Like, Mason Mount, in one of his videos for Man United, was like, You know, I knew quite early into the season I wasn't part of the plans. That's complete bullshit. Because, of course, you're part of the plans. They're trying to keep you.
Yeah. And you were playing pretty consistently under Tuchel and then under Potter.
Exactly.
And then you got injured.
Yeah. Like, of course, you can't play. You're injured.
Yeah.
So that's complete nonsense. So from his side, he's saying he only received like one contract offer, which we also know was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
He also said he offered like five. I don't believe that either. So you got to look in between. I think there was a couple offered, but none were up to the standard that he was expecting.
Mm.
There was a story before the World Cup that everything had pretty much been agreed. He went out to the World Cup, came back, and then that offer wasn't there anymore. So if that's true, then it's Chelsea's fault.
Yeah, and again, at that point, I see Mason Mount's, I see his thinking, because he was, for a footballer, I know we're in, you know, desperate financial times in the country, but for a footballer at a top six club, compared to his teammates, he was heavily underpaid.
Yeah, was,
you know,
yeah.
He was on what, 80 to 100 grand a week, where you were looking at people like Havertz, Kepa, everyone else on 250 plus. And you would understand, you know, he's in there week in, week out. He you know, made the most appearances over the last 2-3 seasons, most goals, most assists. You would expect Chelsea to you know, respect him. But actually, yeah, you've earned this contract. Let's get it done, because you are the next prodigal son of Stamford Bridge. So I get why, you know, when he's come back from the World Cup and there's not an offer on the table, or there's a different offer on the table, that he's decided, I'm not interested.
Yeah, like, the fact that he's left does hurt. But as you said, you can understand it.
Mm.
But the reason why I think he's such a dickhead is one.
Don't mince your words.
Is one, obviously he went to Man United.
Yes.
Two, his goodbye video was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
He was reading off a script that had clearly been written for him. And he still had his blonde hair. So he clearly did this weeks ago.
So, yeah. So this is the big controversy going around about, you know, Bleachgate or whatever we want to call it. he recorded his goodbye video to Chelsea fans with his bleach blonde hair, which we've seen. He's had it. But when we see the first videos of him at Man United, he's got his normal brown hair. And that's probably dyed. It could. I'm not a hairstylist. Could be dyed. Could be pretty quick. Not quickly dyed, but it could be dyed. But it does show that this has happened for a while. And again, from a player that's like, you know, been there for 16 years.
Yeah.
I mean, all you've got to do is look at Azpilicueta's goodbye video, which I was almost in tears watching that. That is a player that gave everything and understood the connection, understood what he'd done and what he was a part of. And watching a grown man cry like that for 6 minutes showed that he was truly leadership.
Chelsea.
Yeah, and then, you know, Chelsea give him the credit. You know, they give him tons of posts and show off all of his highlights. Mason Mount got, I think, one Instagram post. And we're like, yep, yeah, cheers, Mason.
Yeah.
Out, gone. It's a bitter end to the relationship. And I am looking forward to seeing the reaction he gets back at Stamford Bridge in the red of Man United.
Yes, so personally, on a personal level, hope he has a lovely life. I hope everything goes well for him. On the football pitch, I hope he's total shit.
Scumbag, yeah. Quick 20 seconds, though. Is this actually, a lot of people have been questioning, is it a good signing for Man United? I'm not sure who's against this signing, because you're getting a fantastic midfielder who will replace Eriksen this season.
He is a fantastic signing. My concern is the same with Kai Havertz. Where does he play?
Again, it's forcing yourself into the team. Maybe Ten Hag switches up and just plays like a single DM, so just plays Casemiro. And maybe, either Mount or Bruno goes deeper, right? And then the rest work themselves out. But I think it's a great signing for Man United. I think they're going to really, you know, benefit from this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, Chelsea lost on this end of the deal.
Chelsea have lost in the whole sort of deals. Mateo Kovacic going to Man City for £25 million.
Great deal for City.
A steal for Manchester City, getting an elite-level midfielder for £25 million. The fact that they've lost Gundogan to Barcelona, straight replacement. You know, won't carry the same goal potential, but link up play, hard work, big tackles, you know, the link from the back to the front is there. Done.
We will see the best version of Kovacic in this Man City team. It's absolutely going to be wonderful.
Yeah. They've also made some good some good departures, which are being questioned because of the, I actually made a YouTube video on it on the SGFC YouTube channel. So go and check that out at SGFC Podcast. But the planes from Stamford Bridge to Saudi Arabia have been pretty regular. Edouard Mendy going to Al Ahly for 16 mil. Koulibaly going to Al Hilal for 20 mil. There was Kante leaving at the end of his contract, going to Al Ittihad. And Ziyech was meant to join them at Al Nassr, Ronaldo's team, but apparently had a knee issue during his medical, which he has since laughed off, but looks to hopefully still be joining them out there.
He's rejected it. He's done.
We'll see what his future offers. Elsewhere as well, Ruben Loftus-Cheek gone to AC Milan for about 13 million, which I'm kind of against that. I think he was a great utility player, but he's a player that we discussed in another YouTube video about how to fix Chelsea that just needs consistent game time. And he can get that out there. And he's soon to be joined by Christian Pulisic. And we're basically waiting for the final details to be signed. But Captain America will be going to Milan as well. Kind of struggling to put together Chelsea's first 11 at the moment. I kind of see a lot of outgoings.
At this point, Chelsea are a lot weaker than they were.
Yeah. We've seen, Nicholas Jackson come in as a striking option. Today, we've seen Dacho Fofana go out to Union Berlin on a loan. There's still players to shift. There's still Aubameyang is hanging around somewhere, God knows where. But we're now at the point where we play our first preseason in a week. I do need to see one or two signings now. I need to see some midfielders because I don't think we've got any left now.
But we've just been seeing all these reports that keep coming out, Chelsea linked to this, Chelsea like that, and then getting shot down.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that Chelsea focus on right now is Caicedo.
Yeah.
They're fully overpaying for.
Overpaying for, I think, you know, Caicedo's come out and said he wants the move. You know, obviously he does. Of course he does. But I think you're right. Chelsea are getting too sucked into that deal. And we need to put a firm offer on the table to Brighton, say, call us in 2 days. We've got other things to do. And I think Chelsea are going to get caught short.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we're apparently not, like, every striker's getting linked. They're like, nope, Chelsea, at a minute, aren't caring about strikers. They've got Brozier, they've got Jackson. And it's like, well, they're both 21. Jackson's only ever started 16 games in one season. Brozier's come back off a major injury. Cool. No goals there.
There's Nkunku can play there. I am just worried about the centre pairing. You know, I don't see it right now. But there is still time. Other teams that have been making the headlines, Tottenham have been doing pretty well so far with the new manager come in. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name again. They've signed up Pedro Porro and Kulusevski to deals after their loans. They bought in Manuel Solomon, who was on loan at Fulham last season and just scored bangers like every week. His MO was like score from 30 yards. Like, okay, sure.
On a free transfer, it's a great deal.
Yeah. And the headline signing, of course, is James Maddison from Leicester for about 40 mil. Solid signing. Solid signing.
New Ericsson.
Absolutely. Apparently, the new manager has been just putting them through their paces, really getting the fitness levels of the players up, which, you know, will be fantastic for Tottenham fans to hear. Looking in good shape.
Comes down to Kane, though, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's Bayern Munich keep flirting with. I think they've put in two bids now.
Yeah,
guys, you've got to put over 100 million euros. That's what will start turning ahead.
It's more than that as well. Kane has to kick up a fuss.
I don't think he will now.
He's just not that guy.
Yeah, I think he's got this. We've spoken about it on several episodes. He's just got this unwilling loyalty to Tottenham. But go to Bayern, win titles. That's it.
I think he signs a new deal if he doesn't go this summer.
If I can see that as well, and that's him done there. We'll never see Kane lifting trophies.
The only trophy he'll get is some form of fake award for beating Shearer's deal.
There will be a little, monument, not a monument. There'll be like something, but not a league title. That's what it comes down to. We discussed at length last season Liverpool's need to refresh their midfield. So they've gone out and done it. Alexis McAllister from Brighton for £35 million.
Absolute bargain.
I don't know who was on the negotiating board there for Liverpool, but well done. And Dominic Szoboszlai from RB Leipzig. That is how you pronounce his name, according to my Hungarian girlfriend. Big talent. A hefty price tag at 60 mil, but a real, real talent.
He is. He's been living a little bit in Nkunku's shadow at Leipzig.
Mm.
So to get his own space now, I think he's really going to thrive.
Absolutely. He's sort of more of a... he's an attacking midfielder that has got an eye for goal.
Great dead ball specialist.
That's all Liverpool need. More free kick takers.
That's it. But one thing I will say about Liverpool is they've gone out and fixed their midfield with no fuss, no bother, no problems. They've just gone, take him, done. And it's the only team that's gone out there, just got it done and moved on.
Yeah. I think a lot of the big six have got business done that need to get done, except Chelsea. Yeah. You look at Newcastle and they've been quiet. They're still looking at signing Harvey Barnes from Leicester, which is a fantastic signing. They brought in Sandro Tonali the other day, who you sent me some photos today of him not looking too impressed while he's walking around Newcastle's training ground.
Yeah.
A little bit different from AC Milan, but is he a good signing? I generally don't really know who he is.
When he first came onto the scene at Empoli, I think it was, he was called the new Pirlo, as they often are.
Yeah, every Italian midfielder that is half decent, new Pirlo.
Yeah. He's more of a deep line playmaker, great range of passing, can hit the odd one from range. But I think the idea is that it'll probably sit a bit deeper and let Bruno drift forward a little bit more.
I mean, I suppose they could sort of interchange, couldn't they? Yeah,
exactly.
And other than that, Newcastle have been quiet and they've just got on with business. They're just doing whatever they want to do. I just think Chelsea are getting left behind yet again.
Yeah, I reckon we're going to have a very, very poor window.
Yeah, every week that Chelsea continue to be Chelsea, I just curse the name Todd Boehly and Clear Lake. They've just ruined Chelsea. I mean, everyone else in the league is laughing, and rightly so. But we as Chelsea fans are suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's still plenty of time left in this window. So we'll see what happens. Apparently, the training ground has become a much happier place now that Pochettino has arrived. Perhaps because the players know that he will be there for at least 6 weeks before he's fired. They have to learn a new manager's name. And there's less people there as well. So, everyone gets their own locker rather than having to share.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But apparently things are going a bit better. So we'll see. Like I said, preseason is starting to get into it now. We're starting to see a few games. We've had a few of these closed door, training gang games. But US tours kick off, Asia tours kick off, and I am ready for it, Seb.
Yes, I'm 100% staying up at stupid o'clock in the morning to watch these pointless games.
To watch Chelsea versus Wrexham somewhere in the middle of America.
Yes, at 1 o'clock in the morning. I will be there.
Absolutely.
So just the last little bit of transfer roundup. Aston Villa, just quietly doing great business. Tillemans on a free. We already know he's a quality Premier League midfielder. And then picking up Pau Torres as well, who has been linked with every big club. But no one really went for him. Villa finally pulled the trigger and have found a proper replacement to Tyrone Mings. So well done, Villa. You're doing well.
Yeah. And again, it's just another example of clubs going out, doing their business early and closing up. It's another one of these teams that, I suppose they did get European football, didn't they? They finished seventh.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah. They're spending that money wisely. They know the investment's coming back from TV rights. Bring the players in. Done. I mean, Yuri Tiedemann's on a free. the guy was linked to Arsenal, United, Chelsea, like Roma and a few other places. Aston Villa, another team to watch next season. Another team that will be ahead of Chelsea.
Yes, do not look forward to playing them.
No, not at all. We are going to be back on a more regular basis as the transfers come in. So wherever you're listening to this, be it Spotify, be it Google or Apple Podcasts, or even on YouTube, hit the subscribe, follow, like button. We really, really appreciate it. Or you could hit share and share it with one of your mates and just let them into the SGFC goodness, because there's a lot of goodness coming your way. Do not worry. Seb, where can everyone find us on the social media platforms?
That's pretty much all of it. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, like everywhere.
And now Threads as well.
Oh, yeah, Threads.
Threads,
yeah.
The new social media. Threads is really good, actually. I quite like it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's a more of like a clean Twitter. Like
clean Twitter.
Yeah,
right.
Twitter kind of feels a bit dirty and a bit, I don't know. But yeah, Threads is really nice. Really enjoying it over there. Starting to chat to a few people about football. So come and join the Threads, I guess. Is that what
the
we're
called? Yeah.
Come and join the tapestry. You know, there you go. That's a, if you're listening to Facebook, copyrighted. Okay. but we will be back next week, most likely, with another transfer special. So I've been Greg. He has been Seb.
See you later, guys.
And we see you next week for another Transfer Talks with the SGFC podcast. Goodbye.